Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, no, this isn't my Christmas sermon. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Man, think about that. They traveled many, many weeks and months, some say up to 2 years, to get from where they were to where they thought he might be, for one purpose, to worship him. I think we can all make it back next Sunday night because the travel won't be too difficult for most of us, right? So, Father, we bless you and we honor you. Your son is king. These wise men understood something that we need to understand. He's the king. And we yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. No negative spirit, no movement of politics or politicians, no singular human governmental concept can ever stop your kingdom. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In a few moments, I'm going to show you the video I've shown you before. But before we get to that, I want to remind all of us, we need to raise our praise to the level where we can receive what the King is saying to us. Because we need to prepare ourselves, and praise and worship help soften the soil of our lives, hearts, and minds so we can receive what the King wants to say. We can't implement what we have not received. So unless we receive truth from God's word, we can't put it into practice. We can only implement when conception takes place, when the seed has begun to germinate and spring. So the Lord's been shaking me up, and man, he's been saying some things to me that bring me to this theme and this message tonight, because we're talking about his kingdom come, and the King is where he's taking us tonight. And although you may have seen this before, most of you, I want to use it again. You know, we're talking about the King and the kingdom. And as we celebrate Jesus the King, pay attention to this because I think it helps inspire us a bit. Amen. Praise God. Every now and then, I like going back to refresh that truth, because we need to know who our King is. Amen? That so beautifully describes him. Religion will never cut it. It's nothing but pretense, and nothing ever manifests out of religion. When the King is present, the supernatural happens, because it's his character. Jesus was born King of the Jews, and we limit his influence by only seeing him as the suffering Savior. He saves us from our sins, and we can keep that neatly packaged. It's a phenomenal message. It's the great message of good news to the entire world. But Jesus was not just born Savior. He was born King. The wise men came looking for the King. But after he rescues us from sins, listen, if we only use him to rescue us, we will not know him as our King. Every king has territory, which is known as a kingdom. And if Jesus is king, Jesus has territory. Jesus was born king. He has territory. And once we understand he's King of Kings, we who know who he is understand this. He's been holding on to territory he owns, and he wants all of us to enjoy that territory with him. The word kingdom is made up from two words, kingdom. And if we don't separate them, we don't get the full impact. It simply means ruler, king, ruler, dom, domain. So ruler over a domain. That's what his kingdom is all about. King is a ruler. The domain is his territory. Our King rules that territory. And when you see the word Lord in Scripture, The definition generally coincides with king. We have not focused very well on the lordship of Jesus because, after all, he is king. As king, he intends for his people to develop in process. And in that process, there are battles and setbacks and suffering, all designed until the king is formed in us. And some people, we welcome the Holy Spirit and we're grateful for his presence, right? But the anointing is not a one-time event. We take him and put him in a box and we check him off the spiritual inventory and say, well, I had received the Holy Spirit. Paul encourages us, be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, living in relationship with God who pours into us the all-sufficiency streams of living water that we have to have. The anointing is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's not a free pass that you'd never have any crisis in life. Jesus was anointed, and he was persecuted, and he was debated, and he was defamed and crucified and put to death. The anointing is the power that pulls us through all of these troubles with confidence that we're not alone. He's with us. And the anointing is not optional, because anything that God uses for his purposes must be anointed. And the picture of that goes all the way back to the tabernacle. When Moses constructed that structure, he anointed everything. The posts, by God's direction, the hinges, the curtain rods, the bowls, every article of clothing, every person who entered, because God wants everything that belongs to him anointed. It's not optional. It's a mandatory relationship. So during prayer time, I slip around this room and anoint every end of every pew, because I'm believing God, by his power and his strength and spirit, is going to do something for breakthrough in the lives of every person who sits in these seats. Amen? So Paul wrote, I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. There's a process, and I need the Holy Spirit's help. But if we know Jesus is king, when our process begins to unfold and become mature, our promotion begins, and the fruit begins to be born, and out of which comes the tasty things that God has purposed for each of our lives. Remember, a king is one whose position has lineage. Kings just don't pop up out of nowhere. It's been genetically transmitted by royal bloodline, by transference. There's one of the supposed royal family in England that's kind of like walking away from his lineage and his royal position. Jesus is king forever, and he will never stop being king. Earthly rulers eventually pass on or abdicate their positions, but King Jesus will live and rule forever. So never worry when you face trouble, because my king outlives every problem I face. He outlives all trouble. His kingdom has no end. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So never worry about issues and problems and suffering, because Jesus outlives all our challenges. He will never cease being king. Jesus died once and resurrected for our sins. He will never die again. Our challenge, never stop believing him, trusting him. Believe in Jesus as king. When he gives direction, when he gives revelation of word, we must believe what the king says. Believe in his kingdom and in his authority. It means what he has for us will also never end. Our crisis is always a setup for a promotion, for God to take us where he wants us to be. Because Joseph went through 7 major setbacks in his life, all caused by other human beings. But he never stopped believing in his God. God was king in Joseph's life. And because he made him king, God promoted him at the right time because he never stopped believing him. Amen? Because we're under the cover of our king. There are challenges. There are betrayals. There are setbacks. They set us all up for the comeback that King Jesus provides. Take the lessons from the passages of Scripture related to Joseph. And Jesus' victories in our lives are known throughout all of his creation because he makes his will known everywhere. He owns everything that's been created, and he makes his will known and purposes known to all who hear him. So when you don't know Jesus as king, you don't understand your trial when it comes to you. You struggle with it. You only know him as Savior. But when you know him as king, you kind of start to comprehend the trial. Because when you believe in your king, tested and tried as he was before any of us were, because from the foundations of the world, he'd already committed to giving up his life for us. Amen? He did not suffer because of any sin or transgression in his life. He was tried because he was our king. He was tried and put to death because he was hated to be called King of the Jews, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So we could have forgotten who he is in a test. We could easily kind of get off the rails when we're in a test, forgotten who he is when there's been a divorce and a horrible pain, forgotten when you received a negative report from your physician, forgotten when you feel betrayed, forgotten when you thought God was not on your side. God has always been and always will be on your side. It's why you're still here tonight. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. So right from the beginning, God begins to promise the kingship lineage that would one day culminate in Jesus. Abraham and Sarah were past the age of reproduction. It was impossible. But God made a promise. One day King Jesus would appear. Jesus did not come on the scene in Matthew. Listen, Jesus manifested himself in his earthly body when Adam ate the fruit. It was the beginning of the manifestation of the Son of God when he promised, listen, we're going to stomp his head. Amen. And I will, then he goes on in Genesis, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she'll be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Speaking of Sarah, God is speaking to a barren couple. And he's saying, out of your lives will come the one that I promised Adam from the very beginning when he fell. And kings possess territory. Jesus is king, and his lordship spans the entire creation of his universe. And when tears appear because of pain, and when troubles attack, and when you feel you're under threat, remember our king has territorial authority, and he grants us kingdom authority. It belongs to his children. Why are we losing when we have a king who has won? The only places where we are having issues are places that we have yet to submerge under his lordship. That's where we struggle. And if we would learn to submerge all places of our hearts under his lordship, there'd be victory springing out. There are religious spirits in our world. There are lying spirits, hindering spirits, tempting to hold us back and thinking less than God's best about our lives. They don't want what God has for us, thinking our past has disqualified us or neutralized us because something we've done or behaviors that we've embraced that disqualifies us from being a part of his kingdom. No, we need to place ourselves under the lordship and the kingship of Jesus the Christ. because he receives us not only to forgive us, but to give us authority and a fresh new beginning. Stop rehearsing your past. You're not dreaming as you should about where you're going. Understand, you are under the lordship of King Jesus. And you got a little bit excited, some of you. I heard you when you watched that video. But some will walk right out of here and allow yourself to be submitted to what has kept you bound in the past. Well, I had a failure. I made a bad decision. Outside the promises of God over your life. Listen, it's the best thing you'll ever have in life. Nothing that you've ever done will disqualify you from being received by the Savior and being endorsed by the King. Many have played too many religious games and received nothing out of the deal. And let me show you that from Scripture. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Boy, wait a minute. He's a ruler in the church. He's a church goer. He knows all the rules and regulations. He knows the Torah from memory. He can quote that rote from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He knows the scripture, but he is not in the kingdom. People can attend church for years, even acquire a position in church, and still not be under the rule of the King, yielded to him. "Well, I've been in church for years." Well, that's good. Sometimes people get worse going forward if they don't get into a relationship of submission to the King. Because there's a difference between understanding and wisdom. People can have understanding about a lot of topics, even in the Bible, but wisdom means I have experienced what I've read in that book. I have lived through it. I have seen it manifest in my life. I've lived it, learned it, embraced it. It's now a part of who I am, not just something I've memorized. Nicodemus was saying, with all of his credentials, "I've been involved a long time. But how do I acquire what you're talking about?" A Pharisee. Many can be with him in church services, but don't know him as their King. So many Facebook this one and that one, and sometimes I get shocked by the unbiblical lifestyles being endorsed by Christians on social media. And you look at that and you go, do you really see what this person's doing? And you just check the box. You like that? Really? You wonder, is he really King? Those you call on are not necessarily your friends. We can tell who you know by who you call on. We need to Facebook Jesus. Call on the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Call on the King and say, "Whatever you say, sir, that's what I'm about to do." It doesn't matter we attend church or quote the Torah. It matters that we know King Jesus. Nicodemus was willing to admit, "I don't know about the kingdom. I don't know how to access this." And John said, John the Baptist said, "The kingdom is coming." Jesus said, "It's here. It's here." And for those distracted by so many issues tonight, if you're not victorious, those issues, if you don't overcome them, those issues will be passed to another generation. Added to your stresses and worries, your children will inherit those issues. Your grandchildren will inherit those issues. So we need an encounter with the conquering King. who gives us spiritual authority in our personal walk and with our families as well. Whose kingdom are we serving? Who is our king? If we make all the decisions, he's not our king. If he is sent to the sidelines while we make the decisions, he's not king of all the kingdom. Like some people wait until it gets dark, like Nicodemus, to kind of show up. Even some in the church have relegated Jesus to certain rooms in their lives. Well, you can deal with this in my life, but stay out of this room. And we need you because we're in this crisis over here in this room, but I don't want you touching what's in this room. That's reality, folks. That's reality. Because the minute the king starts knocking on that door, you can't go in there. That's my business. What's happening on the world stage tonight, what you're seeing across this planet, whether it be climate or wars and rumors of wars and the outbreaks we're about to experience, what's happening on the world stage tonight is going to bring everybody back to the real king. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, what's happening in the headlines is a setup so Jesus can make the clear announcement he is Lord and King over all. He's the King of Kings. He was born King. And some have a religious persona. Even Pentecostals do. Nicodemus was one who did so. But I'm glad he realized his lack and he ran to Jesus. He knew he could go no higher in the religious system he was in, and he would have not gone searching if the system was working. He wouldn't have had to search. Some need to come to the realization the game is not working. People want it to work. Some thought it was going to work, but if it's not working, perhaps it's a time for spiritual shifting in 2020. When one is in the same place spiritually, year after year after year, little spiritual growth, it's time for a shift. Nick finally realized, I've been rehearsing everything you have and nothing has changed. I'm slipping out at night, no matter what the rest of them think, and I'm going to go searching for Jesus. And I'm a spiritual leader among the Jews, and I'm going to go find the King of the Jews. I'm not worried about Herod. Nick shifted. I need to make an adjustment. Some worry about the old system that it's going to react when you step out. It'll keep doing what it's always done, very little, because the system doesn't produce. Religious systems at best provide a template. Jesus' kingdom is relationship built. Because God placed his son in office as king. Herod was not the king. And it's why he got so troubled when he heard these wise men say, we've come to find the king, the one who was born king of the Jews. When you get under King Jesus and serve him faithfully, your day is going to manifest. The blessing of the Lord is going to be prominent in your life. Say, I was born for this. Amen. We were born for this. What do regional spirits think they can do against the church? Who can stand against the Lord? Deceive and blind people to the truth is what they do best. And they get them spinning around with templates and spinning around with religious systems and spinning around with doctrines that bounce off of walls. But the Holy Spirit is present to tear down every stronghold and liberate God's people in the truth of his word. We were born for this. Amen. And Nick realized something was wrong. The centurion recognized something was wrong. Jairus recognized and realized something was wrong. And the centurion said to Jesus, only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does. And I know who you are. you are king. Amen. He said, Jesus, nothing is working here in my circumstance, because he had no real king. He had an earthly king who could do nothing for his servant. Unless you have the real king, there is no authority. With the real king, you've got reality authority. We struggle powerlessly looking for help when we have at our disposal the power and presence of the king in the form of the Holy Spirit. Help is here. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, Nick, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There should not be anyone here who is not born again. And if we are born again, then we have the opportunity to step into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not talking about heaven, when we transition. It's not what Jesus was talking about. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Interesting statement. The word see. And biblically, Jesus said this, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. No. So what in the world is he saying here? It's not we see here or we see there his kingdom. Because see, our English word that's been translated from the Greek, means to experience. Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot experience the kingdom of God. Some strange thing has happened in the Western church. Either some have not been truly born again, or as soon as they've been spiritually birthed, they were taught religion instead of taught his kingdom. Whatever happened, the Holy Spirit is present to break the church out of her sleep, to awaken us to the power and the principles of the king and the kingdom that he's established. Amen? How are we in the kingdom supposed to support spiritual leadership giftings in the church so we can accomplish the purposes for which he's birthed us? It's genetically transmitted. It's reproduced. This is how God works in his kingdom. When we're born again, we're alive in Christ, and we see, we experience his kingdom and become disciples, learners, so we can reproduce family for his kingdom. It's the way he's planned it. So, between Sundays, there ought to be reproduction going on. And the kingdom should be expanding. And more people should be added to the church. Because people who belong to the kingdom, who have become learners and disciples, are reproducing out among those who are sheep without a shepherd. We are genetically predisposed for that when we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. We are predisposed to reproduce in his kingdom. And we must come to Jesus like Nicodemus and say, I cast my vote for Jesus to be king in my life and choices. Many have such conflict today, inwardly. The issues that were voted in by choice, and some of those things that we've embraced because they've diluted the kingdom in us, have drained financial resources, have blocked up spiritual giftings and talents and abilities because the system took over instead of his kingdom. But those who have tapped in genetically to Jesus' kingdom, the worry about finance, purpose, how to use and spend the time that God's given us, all of that begins to fade like vapor behind us and around us because we live by kingdom principles. The born-again experience is designed to alter our spiritual genetics. The DNA we carry now is the DNA of our Lord and of his Christ, Jesus the King. Amen? We have to be careful of the human spirit saying, I've been in the church a long time. attempting to determine direction just because we're here without tapping into the lineage of Christ the King. Because it's all, what's his DNA do? If I have his DNA, what did he do? He went about doing good. Even as I was sent, so send I you. See the reproduction? What he's saying is, I want you to go do what I've done. I want you to take my model and now allow my DNA to get into your life and start governing the direction of your steps. And I want you to start doing what I did. You are to go out and be my ambassadors wherever you are, doing the works I've done. Over and over and over, he tells his disciples this. This is the genetics change in us. No longer, this is what I want to do. And he's not going to tell me what to do. Well, my king has the right to tell me what to do because he owns me. He bought and paid for me. Right. So the question always is, who's my king? Who rules my heart? Who rules my life? Who rules my actions? And my king has the ability to sustain. My king has the ability to heal. My king has all wisdom. My king will fight for me. My king told me, hold your peace, and I'll fight your battles. How many cannot stand or resist because they don't know the king? When fight comes, they wilt. When there's trouble, they have no power to resist because without the king's genetics, you can't fight like the king. When we are born again, we can experience the kingdom. And I have too much experience to think I'm going to lose with my king. I know him too well. I can't lose with him. If I'm stuck next to him and in pace with him, I can't lose with him. I have too much experience with my king to know his ways and know he fights on my behalf, that I can trust him in the battles that I face. I am spiritually, genetically connected to my king. I belong to his kingdom. Are you hearing this tonight? When we're born again, we don't go around picking our church like you go to hometown buffet and go pick, well, I like this, but I don't like that because that doesn't suit what I like. That's not the way it works in the kingdom, although that's what we do in the Western church. We act like this is some buffet laid out on a Sunday. We are genetically placed in his body to fill a royal purpose, his purpose. And when you find yourself spiritually confused, you've been around too many religious people who only have some pat answers that they've learned in their religious classes. When around religious people, yet you're genetically placed, they will bring confusion into the middle of your trying to define where we're going, what our purpose is. When genetically placed, when I worship, the king shows up. When we're in the right position with him and we worship, the king is here. It's not performance, it's presence. The presence of the king. When I yield and serve him by taking good news to others, when I do what he's asked the body of Christ, the church, to do, the king shows up to anoint my words. When I pray with a teachable spirit, the king shows up and gives me truth. Tell your neighbor, the king shows up. And I've experienced a relationship. It's more than intellectual understanding. It's an experience with the king. It's fellowship. David said, your servant has killed both lion and bear. In other words, I have experienced something. This is not textbook. Well, I've gone to basic training, and I've studied the manuals, and now I know how to go to war. David said, that's great, but I have experienced it. I have killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. I don't know what you're about to grab by the neck right now. I don't know what giant has been threatening you in your life, but if Jesus is your king, shout his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because of who you are in our lives. I understand why the culture wants to remove his name and why we've got people running for high office who want nothing to do with what we believe and teach. It's not because Jesus is just the Savior. And of course, some of them don't think they need a Savior. Many want to remove his name because he is King Jesus. That's why Christians are under great persecution in places where they have authoritarian styles of government, which some of them are espousing that we embrace in our American culture. And listen to me. You see what's happening to Christians around the world and the persecution that rises and the difficulties that they have? Well, that'll happen here if we bring that kind of leadership in a position of power. So, folks, they're afraid of the king. They don't want any other authority in your life other than themselves. But I've got one authority that's higher than all other authorities, and his name is Jesus the King. Amen? Amen. I was thinking about that, Toyin, when you were in Nigeria for several months. And I thought, God, protect her, because they're killing Christians in places in Nigeria. We're glad to see you home for a while. Bless you. You ought to be shouting and dancing right now, right? Amen. Amen. When you say the name of this king, the atmosphere starts shifting. When you say the name of this king, devils start bowing. Somebody speak his name. What's his name?
Jesus.
Say it loudly.
Jesus.
He's your king. He's my king. And the enemy hasn't a clue about the victory that he has blessed his church with, and the victory he has in store for Calvary Christian Center, the tsunami of the Holy Spirit anointing coming on his church so we can take the good news everywhere we are. When people begin calling on the name of this king, all of a sudden, living water begins to flow. Religion stays in the same spiritual place year after year after year. And then it begins to try to cope with its own stagnation. Spiritually, we're supposed to change. We're supposed to grow. We are supposed to mature. We are supposed to become more like the Son of God, not like Israel walking around in circles for four decades. If something doesn't change by tomorrow, I will press even harder into the presence of Jesus because I want to become more like my master. Wise men wanted Jesus because he was born king. They came to worship him. And others wanted Jesus to be like them. Well, just kind of go along, get along, don't rock the boat in the religious areas of people's lives. No, but he's high and lifted up, and he's my king. Amen? There's none like him. And he came to turn over more than just the tables in the temple. He came to turn over the corruptness that had found its way into a religious system that began to abuse people instead of set them free. So Isaiah the prophet, when he got a glimpse of what the king is about and how he is and how the relationship should look, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, in other words, the glory of his presence, filled the temple where he was. Nicodemus was a religious man from a child. He was a religious person from his youngest years. He finally realized that Jesus was saying something he had never heard in religious circles. Jesus was saying something that he had never wrapped his brain around. Jesus was speaking with kingdom authority. Jesus was speaking with clarity. Nicodemus said, I have never heard anything like this before. Never have I heard anything like this. Something was stirring inside of him. This is the king that I need. And he came, listen, Jesus came to disturb the then known church world. The Holy Spirit is going to show up again before the return of Jesus to stir up the church world and disturb it a little bit, because we need the nest stirred up again. When this king gets involved, listen, the woman who bled for years and spent all of her income on physicians, when she touched this king's robe, was fully healed. This king, who under religious law should have been defiled by their definition, by her touch. The religious people, appalled, how dare she touch him in her condition? And look at now, she's made him, she touched me and was healed, and I was not contaminated, right? I am king and Lord of all. I cannot be contaminated. Jesus then, he was on the way to the house of Jairus when this woman interrupted the scenario and received her healing, touching the hem of his garment. And now he continues on his journey to the house of Jairus, an elder statesman in the church. And Jesus had to show him something, because knew that this system that he was a part of was inadequate to help him with his loved one, his daughter. And Jesus puts all the skeptics out of the room in Mark 5, and they ridiculed him, because Jesus looked in there at the dead body and said, she's just sleeping. No problem here. And they laughed at him and ridiculed him, okay? But when he had put them all outside, okay, that shows me you've got this when it comes to faith out, right? You might have to drop some friends off your Facebook page. You don't need religious people. You need desperate people. You need hungry people. I'm looking for desperate and hungry people here at Calvary Christian Center. How many hungry people do I have here tonight? How many hungry people? Hungry people. He's touched by the woman with an issue. He doesn't go to the temple to get cleansed. He keeps going to the house of Jairus, or another religious ruler, and his daughter's dying. When he gets there, she's gone. I'm not interested in religious traditions. They have never changed an iota of my life. I'm interested in King Jesus. He's changed my life. Amen. Embracing him, he changes you. It starts on the inside and works its way outside. Jesus emptied the room of all the skeptics. He cleaned the room, and he touches the girl's hand, and the girl rises from the dead. The same king touched by the woman with an issue raises the 12-year-old girl from her deathbed. 12 represents something in the scripture. 12 has always represented authority or keys. Jesus walks in. He is eternal government. He has all authority, including over death itself. He holds the keys to unlock death and bring her back to life. There's no telling what's about to happen next when the king shows up. Amen? Tell your neighbor, he's my king. Don't say it like a religious person. Declare it with authority, because you know him as your king. When you know him as your king, you will get to your purpose. No matter if your child is strung out, they're coming home. No matter if they've been entangled in a sinful lifestyle, God will bring them home. Your body will be healed by the touch of the king. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When the King shows up, he sets all the captives free. Amen? Amen. Government, authority, kingdom. That's who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Man, I'm about to come out of my shoes. Give me that, right? To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So when we step into the relationship with our King, no demon in hell will ever stop us or push us down. We have governmental authority because we are his ambassadors in this culture. We represent the King. That's why some people who run for office don't want anything to do with him, because our allegiance belongs to this King. Amen? Amen? We will not bow no matter the threat, and he has given us keys. So when you discover your King, you stop allowing the devil to rule your territory. You say, no, I got a King here. And if nothing else, the King is going to evict you out of my territory. Listen, this is what Jesus said to his disciples. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. The King rules our minds. The devil does not belong there having a foothold. The King rules our body. I mentioned it this morning. We keep it clean so he can use us. We have kingdom authority when the season begins to shift. And in this shift, we're looking for avengers, spiritual avengers. You know, you see the superheroes. They get involved and help liberate people who've been under oppression and being abused, harmed, hurt. God's looking for an army of kingdom followers that set captives free, that liberate those who are bound, that preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? Our King has redeemed the time, and he will restore the years that the enemy has stolen from us. Look at your neighbor and tell him, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. No matter what we have lost, we're going to get back what's been stolen from us. And somebody ought to do a dance right on top of that, right here, right now. Whatever's been lost, listen, whatever's been lost and stolen, listen, we're going to have it given back. Amen? We will have back what's been stolen from us. Because my King is here. My King, your King, is here tonight. You know, they tell us in statistics that the millennials struggle with believing. But if the church of Jesus the Christ truly becomes his church, and they, because of that, meet the King. Watch them connect with the King and the kingdom. How quickly that'll happen. Because the reality will be, this is not a religious system. This is a relationship. And I'm into relationship. Praise the Lord. I dare you. Stand to your feet, come forward, and worship your King. Worship your King. I dare you.